Hello, I'm Dr. John Algin. I'm a clinical associate professor of ophthalmology at the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary of Mount Sinai. Joining me today is Dr. Ron Gentile. Dr. Gentile is director of the Ocular Trauma Service and surgeon director at the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary of Mount Sinai in New York City. Today we'll be discussing the rare and vision-threatening occurrence of vancomycin-associated hemorrhagic occlusive retinal vasculitis. And Ron, as an anterior segment surgeon, I don't think there's anything in the past 20 years that's been so concerning as HORV and has cataract surgeons like myself literally shaking in our boots. We bring a patient to the operating room. We perform a perfect cataract surgery. They come back a day later. They look great. The vision's excellent. Even a week later, they're perfect. And then we proceed to operate on the second eye. And then before that or after that, they start to lose vision. So please explain to us what's going on.
Well, John, I agree with you. HORV, which stands for hemorrhagic occlusive retinal vasculitis, is a very serious condition. Luckily, it's not that common and extremely rare. Patients present with loss of vision after cataract surgery, which can range from one day to 21 days after surgery. And what's really devastating about it is that it could be in both eyes. It's believed to be, if you look at the literature, it's really associated with vancomycin use because they've looked at cases and they found that there's one thing that links all these cases is the use of vancomycin. And what is vancomycin being used for? We know that cataract surgeons now are using this to prevent endophthalmitis. So endophthalmitis has a rate of about 1 in 2,000 and also can be very devastating. So the use of vancomycin is really to prevent those infections. Now, why are doctors using vancomycin and why are we not seeing more of these cases? Well, we feel that this is a relatively rare condition. And we think it may be related to the amount of exposure to vancomycin that these patients are undergoing. So if you look, most of the cases that have been reported are patients who had intracameral injections of vancomycin at the end of the surgery. Now, intracameral antibiotics was popularized by a study that was done in Europe where they looked at cephalosporin injection into the anterior chamber to prevent endophthalmitis. So in the States, vancomycin is actually pretty popular, and that's something that either a compounding pharmacy will take and do for the physician or the nurse, or sometimes even done by an inpatient pharmacy that will supply the vancomycin.
Ron, why are patients getting this?
This is believed to be a type 3 hypersensitivity reaction, and it's really the immune system having an abnormal response to the antigen. And this antigen is vancomycin. Vancomycin is a glycopeptide. It originated actually from a bacteria, a Nocardia species. And it's very effective against gram-positive bacteria. And it's really effective against MRSA. That's one of our biggest nemesis when it comes to infections. So the vancomycin that is injected into the eye is believed to combine with antibodies and start the complement system where you get an accumulation of these antigen-antibody complexes that initiates the complement cascade. And this is causing damage to the retinal vessels. And this damage causes, if you look at some of the pictures, it causes hemorrhages and a vasculitis.
You know, when we were first-year residents at the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary, this sentinel study emerged from New York Eye and Ear regarding endophthalmitis and isolates in the vitreous. And we know the single most important factor in preventing endophthalmitis is the lid prep prior to surgery. And really, I don't think anyone's ever proven that antibiotic drops preoperatively and postoperatively have any effect on diminishing endophthalmitis, the rate of endophthalmitis. Yet we all want to do well for our patients, and we all give those antibiotics. Yeah. So going forward, what should we do? What should we be doing now?
What I can tell you is that it's cataract surgeons really want to prevent endophthalmitis. And it's going to be hard for them not to be using any intracameral or any type of antibiotic after the surgery because of their fear of developing endophthalmitis. But the truth in terms of vancomycin is that if there's an alternative that they can use, then they should use it. But the data that we have now on this condition, it is so rare that we don't want to say that definitely don't use that medication. And this was a recommendation that was given by the Joint Task Force. It was called the HORV Joint Task Force. And this was members of the American Society of Retina Specialists, members of the American Society of Cataract and Refractive Surgeons came together to form this joint task force to collect information. And what they did is they collected information on all the HORV cases available. And they took surveys, they did online registry, and they even did a literature search. And they actually were able to identify 36 eyes of 23 patients that had HORV. And what they found is, out of these 36 eyes of 23 patients, what they found is that the dose and the response of the HORV was greater the greater the dose of vancomycin they were exposed to. So what they recommended is to limit the exposure of vancomycin if you suspect that you are dealing with a patient with HORV.
Why would the ophthalmologist be using vancomycin for HORV?
When these cases present, sometimes people misdiagnose them as being endophthalmitis. And one of the standard treatments of endophthalmitis is actually injections of intravitreal vancomycin and ceftazidime. So if a patient with HORV presents and is misdiagnosed as endophthalmitis, they sometimes get another injection of vancomycin, which makes things even worse. If you look at the cases, the 36 eyes, and you looked at how vancomycin was given, 33 of them were intracameral injections. Only one of those was actually an intravitreal injection for a patient that was suspected to have endophthalmitis, and the other two was actually vancomycin in the infusion bottle.
I think most ophthalmologists now have abandoned using vancomycin for fear of HORV. There are still some that are using it, and unfortunately, we do not have an approved antibiotic to use before, during, or after routine cataract surgery and anterior segment surgery in the United States. So, Ron, how does the ophthalmologist retina specialist diagnose HORV?
Well, HORV has very characteristic retinal findings. And what you'll see is you'll see sectorial retinal hemorrhages. And most of these retinal hemorrhages will follow the veins. So there's a predilection to follow the veins and actually involve the peripheral retina. Now, depending on how severe the HORV is, will determine how many hemorrhages there are. And these are large hemorrhages. And the hemorrhages and the vasculitis is sort of out of proportion to what you see in terms of intraocular inflammation. So endophthalmitis, you're more likely to see hypopyon or a lot of vitreous debris. In HORV, you're not going to see that. Usually, the visibility of the fundus is actually pretty good. Other things that can sometimes mimic HORV are central retinal vein occlusions or combined vein occlusions and artery occlusions. But in those cases with vein occlusions, the veins are usually engorged, where in these cases you're going to have more of an ischemic look and much larger types of hemorrhages.
You know, many ophthalmologists perform sequential cataract surgery. They'll operate on one eye and then the following week the second eye. In the event that they're still using vancomycin intracamerally, or in the infusion bottle for some reason, do you recommend delaying surgery on the second eye, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 1 month? What do you suggest?
I mean, I really don't want to make that recommendation, but what I would say is that if you suspect a patient may have had subclinical or even anything that was reminiscent of HORV on dilated exam or fundus exam, you definitely don't want to use vancomycin on the second eye. And in that study that was done, they found that patients who did have HORV in one eye, when cataract surgery was done on the other eye and they did not use vancomycin, they did not get HORV. So that makes us feel a little bit better that someone who does suffer this in one eye can undergo cataract surgery in the future and not have the risk of developing HORV.
And at this point in time, we have no idea what risk factors are for the patients that would develop HORV. There's no correlation with increased allergy to other medications or sensitivities or anything like that. So there's no real known risk factors that we could try and screen patients who would be at risk.
Yeah, they haven't found any risk factors. Because it's a type 3 hypersensitivity reaction, they've performed skin tests, which really don't work for type 3 hypersensitivity reactions. But they may come out with some type of blood test that maybe in the future will identify patients that may be at high risk for this. But remember, this is a very rare condition, even though it's potentially devastating.
And for those patients who we believe truly have a bacterial anophthalmitis, should we hesitate in using vancomycin to treat them?
I think that vancomycin is really the go-to drug for gram-positive endophthalmitis. Most of the studies have shown over 95% sensitivity to most of the endophthalmitis isolates to vancomycin, in some cases almost 100%. So I think that in endophthalmitis cases, which are very different than HORV, yes, I think vancomycin is going to be the choice of medications. But again, if you have a patient that you're suspecting HORV, then you may want to go with a different drug. You may want to look at maybe amoxifloxacin or even an aminoglycoside before you would inject vancomycin in a patient that you suspect HORV.
So I think now more than ever, the lid prep prior to any ocular procedure is of extreme importance. And close follow-up after cataract surgery for any signs or symptoms of HORV is prudent. Ron, could you tell me a little bit about the visual outcomes in patients who have been diagnosed with HORV?
This is, a devastating condition. And so far, patients who develop HORV, over 60% of them, exactly 61%, had 20/200 or worse visual acuity.
It's terrible.
And what's even worse is that 22% of them actually went to no light perception. One of the things that you can see in patients with HORV is this retinal ischemia. And retinal ischemia promotes neovascular glaucoma. So 56% of those patients, 20 out of 36 of those patients, actually developed neovascular glaucoma.
So what treatment could you offer these patients in the early stage of diagnosis of HORV? What therapies do you have available?
Currently, the treatment for HORV is really aggressive immunosuppression with steroids, actually anti-VEGF injections to prevent neovascular glaucoma and panretinal photocoagulation, and avoiding any more contact with vancomycin. When they looked at the study with those patients, the seven eyes who received additional intravitreal vancomycin, those were eyes that were felt to maybe have endophthalmitis and were misdiagnosed. Actually, 5 out of 7 of those eyes actually went no light perception. There were three eyes that received intravitreal cortical steroids. Those eyes seemed to do better, with one of them actually getting 20/40 vision. So it seems like very aggressive treatment with steroids, preventing neovascular glaucoma, laser treatment, and anti-VEGF injection seems to be the way to go with treating HORV to try to prevent devastating vision loss.
Ron, could you describe exactly what the fundus looks like in a case of HORV?
All right, so the fundus has large hemorrhages in the periphery that actually surround the veins. Depending on how severe, will determine how severe those hemorrhages look. And these hemorrhages are actually associated with retinal ischemia. So if you do a fluorescein angiogram on a patient with HORV, you're going to see non-perfusion in the areas of the retinal hemorrhages. OCT findings, depending on how severe, you might see some whitening of the inner retina, which is really the ischemia of the inner retina that you're looking at. Not commonly will you see cystoid changes or cystoid macular edema. That's not a significant finding in patients with HORV. The hemorrhages that occur tend to be very large, and in some cases when very severe can actually be almost confluent. And this is not something that you'll see typically in patients with other diagnoses. if a patient has endophthalmitis, you can get retinal hemorrhages, but usually those retinal hemorrhages are blocked by the vitreous debris and by media opacity. But in HORV, what you have is you have the vasculitis, which is easily visible into the fundus because the anterior chamber inflammation and the vitreous chamber inflammation is not that great.
Which distinguishes it from endophthalmitis, from bacterial endophthalmitis.
Yes. Other things in the differential would also be potential viral infections. So acute retinal necrosis or acute retinal necrosis or CMV retinitis. But in these cases, you're seeing a vasculitis. You're not seeing a full thickness retinitis. And also, these patients are post-op. They've had surgery, where it's very unusual to see a patient with CMV or acute retinal necrosis after surgery.
And this is a painless process for the patient. Yeah. Their complaint is solely progressive visual loss after cataract surgery with no pain?
Yeah. That's a very good point to bring up, John. Most of these patients present with decreased vision, blurry vision. So the primary complaint in most of these patients is blurry vision. There are cases that have been diagnosed that were asymptomatic, and they were found only on examination of the fundus. So occasionally, you'll have a patient that may have this condition, and if it's suspected, you can actually see it on fundus exam. Some patients actually complained of some loss of peripheral vision or peripheral scotomas. And this makes sense because a lot of these large hemorrhages and a lot of this ischemia sort of starts out in the periphery. So the patient's complaint in most cases is really blurry vision.
When HORV is diagnosed, what would the workup be?
It's very common with vasculitis that you'd want to do a vasculitis workup. A whole systemic workup. But these cases, really nothing turns out in terms of your systemic workup. Now, you have to understand that in certain cases, the diagnosis of HORV may be relatively easy because it has all the characteristic findings. But in cases that you're not sure, they might need that workup where you might need to do the whole systemic workup looking for other causes of vasculitis and retinal hemorrhages.
So in conclusion, Ron, what can you tell us about HORV? Prognosis, diagnosis, treatment.
All right. So what I want people to remember is HORV is a rare condition. It's not common. If you look at the 3 million cataract surgeries that are done a year in the United States, you're only talking about a tiny percentage of patients that may develop HORV. It's believed to be associated with vancomycin, and the data that we have right now sees that there is an association with vancomycin, believed to be a type 3 hypersensitivity reaction. Once the diagnosis is made, early treatment with corticosteroids and antivascular endothelial growth factors appear to be beneficial, and especially panretinal photocoagulation if patients are at high risk for developing neovascular glaucoma. And the most important thing is if you suspect HORV, avoid additional intraocular injections of vancomycin.
Thank you, Dr. Gentile, for joining me this morning in New York City at the Medscape Studios. This was very informative, and I think it will help ophthalmologists everywhere understand HORV.